Okay, what we are going to talk about today is how God's kingdom works. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever thought, Lord, how does your kingdom work? We're going to find that out today. I'm really excited. This actually came very much at the beginning of the week, and my wife has actually been in Florida since Tuesday. She's coming back Tuesday. She went down to witness to her brother because her brother had stage 4 cancer, and he did pass yesterday. So I know some of you knew that, and some of you were praying, so we appreciate all of that. And so that was a situation. She did minister to him. How many of you know, though, sometimes I think this is how, in faith, I want us to all be, that when he got to the point of being unresponsive, maybe some of you have family members, you know, hospice comes in, you know, they make you as comfortable as possible, but that just means you sleep all the time. And so we were all praying and believing that he would have a vision or a dream of Jesus, you know, coming towards him and revealing himself. And I really believe, I believe this in the bottom of my heart, that we're going to get to heaven someday, and there were going to be people that we didn't hear them vocally confess Jesus as Lord into our ear, but something happened while they were sleeping, while they were getting ready to transition. And the reason that I believe that is because I just believe God's grace is that great. Amen. So that's what we were believing for, and I want to believe that when we get to heaven, that happened because people were praying for it, and we will see him again someday. Okay, so back to this. How God's kingdom works. Let's just jump right into this and go to the first slide. Okay, turn with me, if you have your YouVersion, your Bibles, all of this is, the notes are in the app, to Mark 4:13. Okay, Mark 4:13, and again, they'll be on the screen too, says this. Speaking of Jesus, I mean, I know, like, it seems like I'm just ADD all over the place, but how many of you know that sometimes that's the Holy Spirit putting something in your mind and going, don't forget to tell them this? How many of you guys big Chosen fans out there? Okay, so you have to unload the Angel Studios app, and you have to download the Chosen app. It was mutual, it was fine, it was whatever, but they broke ways with Angel Studios, so you have to download the Chosen app. They're already running season 4. You can already watch 1 and 2, and then they're live streaming the third one at 6 p.m. tonight. So I double-checked the time on that because it's 7 Eastern time, so... No, I know, but I looked it up. I got an update from it this morning. It said 7 ET. Okay. Check at 5 and then check again at 6. There's usually a countdown dial going, so just to be sure. But if you're big Chosen fans, like I said, they're going to release another one tonight. And some of you saw it in the theaters when they were out. They said this is the one that many theaters, like whatever happened in this episode, people like just sat there and didn't move until like the credits was over. So I don't know what it is. I didn't see it. I know some of you saw it in the theater. Don't ruin it for me, because I'm going to watch it tonight. Okay, so that was just your Chosen update. So let's go back to this. Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? And we'll talk about what that parable is. How will you recognize, perceive, and experientially know all the parables? This parable, Jesus says, in a sense, do you not understand this parable? How will you recognize, perceive, or spiritually know all the parables? I believe what Jesus is saying is this parable helps you to see and understand all the other parables that he's going to teach on. Does anybody know what this parable is that he's talking about? The sower. The sower, the seeds, and the ground. So Jesus talks a lot when he would tell parables or try to explain heavenly things. He would talk about things that were going on, like, you know, sowing and reaping. He told a parable about how, you know, he sowed wheat in the field, but then an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And that he talked about you can't pull them out before they're mature, because I've actually looked this up, that wheat and tares looks very similar when it's in its immature state. So he said, don't pull it up now, lest you pull up some of the wheat as well. And he said, let them both grow together. And then when they grow, pull them all out at the same time, separate the wheats from the tares, throw the tares into the fire to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn. And of course, it's talking about the last day harvest, that the wheat are the believers, the tares are the unbelievers. So he talks a lot about parables, and he uses things that were in the culture today, which is why sometimes it's hard for us to understand, because some of the areas, the things going on in that culture aren't going on in this culture today. But he says that if you can understand this parable, or he says if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of the other ones? I want to show you, and then we'll come back around and talk about this parable, how many places, and I didn't even get them all, but how many places in the Bible that Jesus talks about the concept of fruit. So let's go to the next verse. So this is Ephesians 5, and again, this is with the Greek inserted, Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. He says, at one time you were in darkness. Now, however, everybody say, now, however. Right? At one time, you and I were in darkness. Now, however, you are light in the Lord. Now, we've talked about this before, about when light can mean illumination, understanding, all of that. It includes that, but two things can be true at the same time. And we talked about how many people's near-death experiences is that when they separate themselves from their body, when they look at their own body, they're full of light, and then they see all these other lights, but then there's this great light that they're drawn to, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with three of his disciples, it says that he was transfigured before him. Basically, he dropped his flesh. They got to see who he was in the spirit, and it basically talks about how he was full of light. And so that's why it says, now, however, you are light in the Lord. You were darkness, now you are light. Conduct your life as children of light. How many of you know the verse that says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights? It doesn't mean he's the Father of the sun and the stars and, you know, the things that we look up in the sky and call lights. He did create those things, but if we are sons and daughters, if we are children of light, he is light, then that means we are light. So he says, indeed, so conduct your life as children of light, not of darkness. Indeed, the fruit of the life, of the light. So again, you can't see the light on the inside of you, right? Unless you were able to transfigure like Jesus transfigured on the mountain, then we would all see each other as lights. But we take it on faith that on the inside of our spirit, since he is light and he joined with our spirit, we are now light. But he says, conduct your life as children of life. Indeed, the fruit of the light is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is well-pleasing to the Lord. So again, it's this whole, if you are this, then we should see this. Because a lot of things we just take faith on. We take faith that we're full of light. We take faith that we're saved. If you think about it, the manifestation of your salvation is not going to come till its fullest event, until you die, right? You don't know. You take it on faith. But you can't know. That's why the Bible talks about that we have been saved, we are being saved, and one day we will be saved, right? We were saved in our spirit, our soul going through this life. That's why, hopefully, the more that you understand your identity in Christ, your conduct becomes better, your character becomes better. That's the process of being saved in your soul, and one day we will be saved in our body. Does that make sense? Because we're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. So it says, if you are truly light, then you should have fruit. And the fruit of that light is goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is well-pleasing to the Lord. So again, fruit here is the evidence of what cannot be seen. Does that make sense? We can't see the light. We take it on faith that we are light, because the Bible says we're light, but the evidence of that light is the fruit in our life, or how the Bible calls it, conduct your life. Amen. This is important because we have a lot of believers, that I've talked to, none of you lovely people, other believers that will talk about something and then I'll be like, yeah, but why are you doing this? Or why do you think this is okay? And like, you know, why do you, praise Jesus, hallelujah, but then this. And again, I'm just legitimately asking them because they're like talking about it. And they're like, well, don't judge me. I believe in Jesus. You can't tell me I don't believe in Jesus. Don't judge me. And I'm like, I'm not judging you. I'm inspecting your fruit. But see, we live in this world of don't judge me. That's offensive. Stop being mean. And going, listen, if our heart is in the right place, then we do it. Last week we talked about being a chameleon. You don't just come up and start judging people. But if they ask you, man, you've really got your act together. You believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But your life is like this and mine is down here. What's the problem? And you say, do you really want to know? And then you start to explain things to them, and you might point out things in their lifestyle, not to judge them, but going, see, this thing you engage in is actually not godly. I don't engage in this, and I actually feel better. I walk better in life and all of this kind of stuff. That's all it is growing together. But it's the fruit is the evidence. And we know this because how many stories do we have, whether it's the sheep and the goats, whether it's the ones that said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons? And he says, depart from me, I don't know you, you who practice lawlessness. Or another way of saying, I don't know you, you who bear no fruit. We don't switch into a works mentality, though. It doesn't say that he'll know us by our works. It says he'll know us by our fruit. Good ground, good nourished ground that brings up a harvest. I didn't talk to the fruit personally, but I don't think it has to strive that much. I think it just naturally grows out of the ground that it was planted in. And if the ground is fertile ground, then you will reap a harvest. But many times we think that we struggle in the Christian life and going, no. The Christian life, the life in the Spirit, is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible talks about. That's what righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's like, well, that just seems easy. It is. We just have to stop making it hard. It really is that easy. What did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say strive. He said abide in the vine. If you abide in me, I'll abide in you. It's just being distracted with the things of the world. Okay, next verse. Again, we're talking about fruit here. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and produce fruit. How many of you know he's talking to the apostles? How many of you know that you can apply this verse to you? You are the chosen of God. Now you have to respond to his choosing. And again, we're not talking about you theology people. We're not talking about Calvinism here. Okay, we're not saying he chose you, you can't do anything about it, you know, and other people he didn't choose, so they can't do anything about it. That's not what we're talking about. It says from the foundation of the universe outside of time, he chose you, but some point inside of time when you were born and the message came to you, inside of time, you received his choosing of you. Does this make sense? Okay. So Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and produce fruit. So he didn't just choose us for salvation. He didn't choose us because he loved us. He did those things. But also he says, I chose you and appointed. You have an appointing. You have a destiny to go and produce fruit. That fruit you produce should remain. This is important because maybe some of you are personally struggling with this, and I'm not asking you to put your hand up, or you know somebody who is struggling that they really used to be good at producing fruit. Something happened, a dry spell, they got freaked out over COVID. I don't know what it is, but they're no longer producing fruit, or the fruit that they had has since rotted off. They need to produce new fruit, but it's not remaining. That you should produce fruit. The fruit you produce should remain so that, he says why it should remain. Whatever you ask the Father in my authority, cause, or character, he may give to you. Isn't that interesting? The reason your fruit should remain so that whatever you ask the Father, he will give to you. How many would love to walk in the fullness of whatever you ask the Father, he will give to you? He tells you how to do that. Produce fruit that remains. That means don't just, you know, have a streak of joy in your life and then go back to being a sad sack. Right? What are we talking about? Don't be a sad sack. Be a happy meal. The kids knew. You can't just have a streak of joy and then go back to being angry or sad all the time. It's talking about fruit that remains. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean that maybe a bad day comes. But you always need to remind yourself who you are in Christ. So it says, if you bear fruit that remains, this is so that you can ask the Father anything, and he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I just love it. No matter what we're talking about in the Bible, God always, or Jesus always brings it back to love. But why is it interesting that he talks about he chose us, he appointed us, he told us to go bear fruit that remains so that we can ask the Father anything and he may give it to us. And then he says, this I command you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He's giving them a seed. We're going to talk about that later. But keep that in mind. Let's go to the next verse. Romans 7, verse 4. It says, my brothers, you are made to die to the law through the body of Jesus Christ. I know in here we're all Gentiles that have come to Christ in faith. But I would urge you to remind yourself of this, that we are made to die to the law through the body of Jesus Christ. How many of us have maybe fallen into it or encountered other people that are like, yeah, Jesus and the finished work of the cross, but here's all the rules you need to follow now. It's not about following rules. It's about knowing who you are in Christ. We don't say, what is commandment number 6? We say, what would Jesus do? You know, people will say all the time, well, we must still follow the 10 commandments. And I'm like, really, what's number 4? And they either have to think or they don't know. And I'm like, I thought this was really important to you. And you know why I think that is? Because I don't think God wants us memorizing the 10 commandments. I think he wants us to memorize, for God so loved the world that he gave his own son, that whoever should believe in him will not perish and have everlasting life. Now, if you are following this one or the previous one that says, love others as I have loved you, guess what? You'll keep all 10. Okay, so we're not saying we're getting rid of the law. This says you are to die to the law. Because the Bible says if you don't want to live in Christ, if you think that you can live in Christ but still be circumcised and still do this and still all this, he says then the law fully applies to you. In Galatians 5, there's some strong language there that says, you who seek to be justified or made righteous by the law have fallen from grace. Because people will always, you know, talk about, and I think we've talked about it in here before, well, are you like a once in grace, always in grace, or do you believe that you can lose your salvation? I'm like, it's not my opinion. Galatians 5:4 says you can absolutely lose your salvation by putting yourself under the law. It's without question. If someone believes once in grace, always in grace, then just they'll have to tear Galatians 5:4 out of their Bible. It says, you who seek to be justified from the law have fallen from grace and have made Christ of no effect. So it says, we're made to die through the law, through the body of Jesus. Why? So that you may be joined and become one with another, him who was raised from the dead, so that what? We would produce fruit. There it is again. We die to the law, join ourselves with Jesus, who was raised from the dead. Again, this doesn't say for salvation or for healing or for all of those things that, yes, those things apply too. But this specific verse says that all of this took place so that we would go and produce fruit. So Christians who are like what I call the frozen chosen, that just sit there and go, you know what, I'm already saved, I'm all this, I'm just going to read my Bible and keep my head down because this world is super crazy and all of that kind of stuff. No. This says Jesus did all of this so that we would produce fruit. And we're going to talk about what this fruit is. Next verse. This is the words of Jesus. A good tree does not produce bad fruit. This is why we can be fruit inspectors. If someone's like, I love Jesus so much, Jesus is just all right with me. But their fruit is bad, they're lying. And if they don't know they're lying, they are totally deceived. And that's the best place the devil can have you, is to think that you're secure and safe in Jesus and that you can just live this life of flesh. So he says, a good tree does not produce bad fruit. A bad tree does not produce good fruit. Every tree not producing good fruit. It doesn't say bad trees are good trees, but he did say in the previous thing that if you are a bad tree, what will your fruit be? Bad. So every tree not producing good fruit, which would be every bad tree, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will accurately and precisely know them by their fruit. Again, this is not the verse to fly the flag of that we can judge people or that we can condemn people. This is saying be aware of people around you that might say the name of Jesus or get up and accept their award and go, I'd like to thank God. You know, people will hold on to celebrities like, these celebrities are just such great Christians. And I'm like, well, why are they making such godless movies? There are some, like, you know, people like Kevin Sorbo and some of these that have, who am I thinking of? Who? Kirk Cameron. You read my mind. That was from the Spirit. Kirk Cameron. That guy basically gave up his Hollywood career. I mean, he made other movies, but they were Christian movies. There's some of them that are really standing true, but just because people get up and go, I thank God and I believe in Jesus and, you know, all of this kind of stuff, where is their fruit? And again, it's not to judge them, but we're trying to look for some celebrity to lead millions of people to Jesus. You know who some people thought that celebrity was going to be for a while? Kanye West. And he's lost his ever-loving mind. But what did he do? It seemingly seemed like he had some fruit for a while. He made a gospel album. But then later, like I've seen the interview. He says that basically he really needed God at a time in his life, and God didn't answer his prayer the way he thought, so he's done with God. I'm like, how could you be done with God? You know, you have to like say, I don't believe in God anymore. But see, that's really the point, isn't it? I really think that there are not as many atheists on the planet as we think there are. There's people that are angry at God, and so they've turned away, and they just claim atheism. I mean, when you look around this world, and this is what I think is starting to happen, is people are recognizing evil for being evil, and in their peanut brains, they're going, if there's evil, then there must be good. And if there's evil, there must be the enemy. And if there's good, then there must be God. And that might be the small door that they need open for us to disciple them into this stuff. Next verse. Okay, this is the words of Jesus again. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The person who remains in me and I in him, that person produces a multitude of fruit. How do we produce fruit? Remain in him. That's why I always say it always comes down to identity. Know who you are in Christ. Well, this is just a really hard life to live. Well, stop trying to live it. Just remain in Jesus. Every situation you come into, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I mean, you could apply that to anything. You know, when you're picking your fantasy team, who would Jesus draft? Okay, never mind. Just pick your fantasy team. But just ask, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus have handled this situation? I love watching The Chosen because they quote the many scriptures from the Bible, but then there's an exchange back and forth. And I'm not going to say anything from it because the more recent ones I watched were from the new season, and I told you not to spoil it for me. I won't spoil it for you because I already watched the first two. But it's amazing when they sit down and have a problem and Jesus is listening. He doesn't speak first. He simply listens. And then, like we read in the Bible all the time, he gives an answer that you never knew it was going to come that way. I mean, you take something simple like when they tried to trap him. Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And you got the Jews who were overtaxed. So if he says, no, we shouldn't, now he's breaking the law of the land. And the Bible specifically tells us that we should obey the laws of the land until they come against the kingdom laws. Does that make sense? And so, but if he says, you know, pay taxes to Caesar, then he's going to lose all of his followers because they hate Caesar and they hate paying taxes. And all the people that hate paying taxes said? So what does he say? Give me a coin. Whose image is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God's. I'm like, who comes up with an answer like that? But the Holy Spirit, if you listen long enough, and sometimes, you know, I know this is a little Joshology here, but sometimes I think that because Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man, that sometimes he had to listen a little bit longer. Like when they brought the woman and he said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? And what did he do? He gets down and he starts drawing on the ground. Now, some people are like, I think he was writing all of their secret sins. And some people say it was on the edge of the temple floor, which it wouldn't have been sand. It would have been sand on top of stone. So his finger writing on stone, which means he's the one that wrote the law. And all of those things are plausible. But you know what? What if it was like he was drawing and doodling on the ground because he's like, God, tell me what the answer is. Because he was human, he had to listen to the Holy Spirit because he did not operate in ministry until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that's what happened. Like I said, that's just some Joshology. I'm just saying, but what if that was the case? And what did he do? He gave this amazing answer. You who are without sin, throw the first stone. So he didn't say you shouldn't stone her, which would be breaking the law. And he didn't say stone her, which would be now all this grace and mercy teaching is right out the door. His answer was unique because it was a God answer. So the key to producing fruit is to remain in Jesus. Why don't I see more fruit in my life? Are you remaining in Jesus? Are you spending time with Jesus? Are you hanging out with Jesus? Are you reading his word? Because how many of you know that the Bible says Jesus is the word? Next verse. Okay, so we talked about like, what is this fruit? Here's the best verse to go to when we want to know what fruit looks like in our lives. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how many of you know the Spirit is not budding and producing fruit? This is talking about the evidence of a life lived in, by, and through the Spirit. This is your fruit from abiding in the vine and living in the Holy Spirit. This is what your life should look like. It should have love. It should have joy. If you tend to be a sad person on a regular basis, you need to reflect on this and get in a deeper relationship with Jesus, because once you realize I like when it says, David says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. If you don't have joy in your life, you just need to start thinking of all the things that you've been blessed with. Whether it's a family, whether it's children, whether it's a house, whether it's shoes on your feet, whether it's clothes on your back. Because you know what? There are some places in some areas of the country, people don't have those. You're blessed to have air in your lungs today. There's lots and lots of people who died yesterday. I'm not talking about in a war or anything. Yes, there's wars going on, but people die every day. Amen? Like, we just need to be grateful and we'll start to see joy. You need to have peace in your life. People will say, well, pray about something and if you have peace. That's fine, but how many of you know peace should be your modus operandi? That should be your standard. And then if you're making a decision that your peace leaves, then you know, well, wait, I'm going the wrong direction here. So don't be out of peace and then pray God to put peace in the situation. Walk in peace. And then when your peace leaves or gets a little shaken, you're like, wait a second. I've got to check myself with the Holy Spirit and see if this is the direction I'm supposed to go, if this is the decision that I need to make. Patience. Lord Jesus, we all need that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility. Oh my goodness. What is this month? And we celebrate it. Jesus says celebrate humility. Humility and self-control. Look what he says. Against such things there is no law. Why? Because it says that we were born to die to the law, that we would be joined with Jesus in death and be raised with him, and then we would walk in newness of life, and this is the newness of life. We are not supposed to be under the law because it says against such things there is no law. If you are being led by the Spirit, then you're actually completing the law. So that's the fruit. That's the fruit that we should be bearing as evidence that we're walking in the Spirit. A lot of people think that their evidence of walking in the Spirit is how many words of knowledge they can give. A lot of people think the evidence of walking in the Spirit is how many people that they can heal. How many of you know that God is so good that he cares about other people? He will heal through you, and he will use words of knowledge through you and words of wisdom through you, even though your character stinks. Because he just loves people. Because people think all the time, well, if my character's not, if I'm not right with God, no. He will continue to flow because he wants to heal those other people that are in faith. But the point is, those are gifts of the Spirit. They are not the fruit of the Spirit. If I personally, Josh, laid hands on people, never saw one more sick person healed, I never got one more word of knowledge, never had any of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, but I could live the rest of my life like that, that's what I want. Now, the great thing is you can have both. And he wants you to have both. He wants you to have fruit, and he wants you to have gifts, because he's a good, good Father. But make no mistake, the fruit of the Spirit is not the gifts. Right? How do we know that? Again, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, did we not cast out devils? Lord, did we not perform miracles? These are all people that did the gifts of the Spirit. He says, depart from me, I don't know you, you who practice lawlessness. So just because gifts are flowing through you, apparently, does not mean that you know Jesus. That's a hard scripture, and I still try to dive into it, and I'm like, just Lord, give me more revelation about it. But it clearly says those things. We're supposed to have fruit. Everything it says is that we're made for fruit. It doesn't say we're made for gifts. He gives us those anyway. But all those verses we read, he saved us, he gave us salvation, he gave us all of these things so that we would go and bear much fruit, fruit that remains. Next verse. Okay, here's where we're going to tie it all together, and I'm going to wrap up. Fruit, we've just now established, is the evidence. Okay, let's not boast to one another about how much in love we are with Jesus if we have no fruit, because you're just deceived. Fruit is the evidence of a life led by the Spirit. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. Those who are led by the Spirit. The proof is in the fruit. So fruit is the evidence, and the proof of everything that's going on the inside is the fruit. The ground determines the outcome. So just leave that slide up. So we're going to go back and talk about what Jesus said in Mark. He said, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all of the parables? And what did he tell? He said, listen, a sower went out to sow. Who's the sower? Oh, we got multiple answers. Yes, we are. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Let's just take all of those answers for right now, because we'll kind of talk about how really two things can be true at the same time. So the sower is sowing seed. It says some falls by the wayside where the birds pick it up quickly. We understand that later Jesus tells us that it's seed that falls on the ground. It never goes into the ground, and the birds come and take it away. That's the devil snatches it. How many of you know sometimes you are ministering to people about Jesus and they are not receptive at all? It's like the moment you throw the seed and it lands right here, it's immediately gone. Oh, I don't believe that. No, that's just superstitious. That's all the devil, just taking every seed that you're throwing at him and taking it off. So that's the first ground. People that flat out reject the gospel. Then you have the second ground where it says that it's a shallow ground. It springs up quickly. Again, think of in your own lives or in lives of people you know that like they heard the gospel, they got real excited about it. They got on fire real quickly. And that's exciting. But then as some time went on and they tried to maybe share with their unsaved friends because they just got changed themselves, they tried to share with their unsaved friends and their unsaved friends are like, you're crazy, you're a nut, get away from me. And like, oh, you're a Jesus freak now and all this kind of stuff. So it says that it springs up quickly, but because there's no root system established in shallow ground, it says that the sun comes out and scorches it. But when Jesus talks about it, he says when persecution or tribulation come because of the word. Persecution and tribulation come your way because of the word of God, which is Jesus in your life. So when you get persecuted and there's tribulation, don't take it personally. In fact, you should get excited because that means there's so much Jesus in your life. The devil has got errand boys and girls, which are demons, and they're coming for you. But guess what? You don't have to be scared of them. You just do this. See ya. That's it. Like people get all like, it's the demonic. No. They're under your feet. Do you think Jesus gets scared? Like when demonized people are coming in the room, the guy starts screaming out, he's like, ah, and he hides behind Peter. He didn't do that. And the same spirit that lives in Jesus Christ lives in you. Okay, so that's the second ground. So that's a lot of people that are like become new believers quickly and then it just fades out pretty quickly. I will tell you this third ground is where a lot of, I don't even know the word, I don't want to say professing believers, but basically what we were talking about, people like, I love Jesus, I go to church, da 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 da, and they got no fruit. Okay? A lot of Christians, a lot of people that say that they're Christians live in this ground. It says that it goes into the thorny ground. Now, the ground is deep enough so they can develop a root system, and it says that the plant grows. But it says that the weeds grow up too, and it chokes the plant, and it specifically says so that they do not bear fruit. It doesn't say that the plant never comes up. It doesn't say that the plant dies. It says that it doesn't bear fruit. And Jesus explains what this is. What are the weeds? The cares of this life, money, possession, maybe, I don't know, just start putting things in seniority at your job. So I have to drop some of my Christian stuff to pretend to be somebody else so that I can rise in the ranks of my job and get a better paycheck. I'm not saying that God won't bless you in that, but he talks about not striving under your own ambition. Let the Lord reward you at your job by working the way that you would work for him. The Bible says, anything that you do, do unto the Lord. Anything in this world that comes along and it says it chokes the word, chokes the plant, and it says that they never bear fruit to maturity. And then finally, the last ground is the good ground. It's the only ground that's called good. And it says, of course, that the plant goes in there, it goes up, and it bears fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So again, it's not like, well, that other person has more fruit than I do. Well, chill out. They have the 60-fold. You have the 30-fold. It didn't say that the 60 is better than the 30. But like the parable of the talents, what God entrusts you with, invest that. You know, everybody wants the hundredfold. Oh, I want to be that pastor on TV, or I want to be the person that everybody who I touch gets healed. Well, you got to start with what you have. Maybe one harvest in the season that you're in, you're bearing 30-fold, but maybe next year you'll bear 60. I can guarantee you, though, the more you abide in the vine, your harvest will go up. Okay, so here's the thing, and we're I don't need the worship team just yet. So the Bible says, he who supplies seed to the sower. So God is going to supply seed for you to sow. The Bible talks about that it says, unto Abraham's seed, all the nations will come. And of course, it's future talking about the Lord Jesus. And he says he does not say unto seeds, plural. He says unto the seed. I believe that God, because the Bible says so, gives you seed to sow. But I believe, well, I'm not going to say what I believe yet. I need Kyla to come up here. Now, you guys always hear me say, and they'll probably go, he's never paid us a dime. Where I say, if I use them as an example, then I will give them $5. Then I get off the platform and come to my senses and go, they owe me their whole lives. But today, daughter, not yet. Since you're going to be my example, I figure everybody can keep me accountable that you get this $5 bill. But leave it there. And it's not based on if you get the right answer or not. It's just you being my example. So based on what I said is that God gives us seed to sow. Okay, so if I give you, this is a sunflower seed. If I give you this seed to sow and I say, okay, so in this situation, we're going to do role playing. I am God, the Eternal Father. Do you know who you get to be? Kyla. I'm God, you are Kyla. Okay. So I, God the Father, say, Kyla, I am entrusting this seed to you. I want you to give that seed, and that is the seed of love. I want you to give that seed to 10 people. How will you do that? Get more what? She's a genius. I thought I was going to stump her. That's what I believe God does. I think that many of us in the Christian faith, God gives us a seed and says, give this seed to 10 people, to 20 people, to 30 people. And we don't know how to do it because we're trying to give the seed away instead of saying you're supposed to plant the seed. And again, we're going to use the example of love. The seed of love, you plant that in your heart because your heart should be the good ground. It will produce a harvest. And how many of you know when you open the fruit, what's inside? Seeds, plural. She can't give that singular seed away to 10 people, but if she plants it and has patience, the Bible talks about their seed time and harvest. Their seed time and harvest. Patience, right? So when the seed comes to maturity, you break open the fruit, and there's all kinds of seeds in it. Then she can give those seeds to other people, but she has the fruit in her life. That's why fruit is twofold. Fruit is not just the evidence to other people, but it should be the fruit that we eat as well. It should be. Like, you know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you love like a fresh cherry tomato right out of the garden? They almost taste sweet as strawberries. But But again, so you eat the fruit thereof. People see like, man, that fruit is really good. And then you could tell them, do you want fruit like me? Yes, I do. And then you break open it and give them a seed and go, plant this in your good ground. Do not give in to the temptations of the world. Do not freak out when tribulation and persecution comes against you. And don't let the devil whisper in your ear to take that seed away. So that's what we do. God gives us the seed, but we have to plant the seed to get more seeds. That's good. That had to have come from the Holy Spirit. I'm not smart enough to come up with that stuff. So seeds, right? Fruit, does all of this make sense? And that's why, again, go to our title slide. I believe that's how the kingdom works here. It's all seeds. He gives us seeds. He gives us a seed of love. He gives us a seed of joy. He gives us a seed of peace. But we have to plant that and have the fruit in our life to walk on it, and then we can give those seeds to other people, and then we can actually tell them how to tend that plant, going, listen, you know, when I received Jesus, I didn't have peace right away, but I put faith in it, I nurtured it, I would focus that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I know my identity, and now I have peace in my life. That's it, that's all I got. Worship team, come on up.